You know, no disrespect to Eric Carle. I think he's done some great things for children's literature. But the very Hungry Caterpillar did not do me any favors. It did not help my self-esteem. The idea that I am living a very natural process of eating what is around me. Is an apple? Great. Is an orange? Great. You know, I don't care. Oh, is it salami? Is it cheese? You know, is it a lollipop? I'm just eating what's around me. I just happen to stumble into that as if I went and made these choices. We don't make choices. We see what's there. And this is all part of a natural process. And then all of a sudden, I'm reading this book. Let's be honest, I don't know how to read, but I was hearing the book being read to a child.
Sure, that does happen.
And all of a sudden, I see the image, and I'm like, oh, oh, it's a beautiful butterfly. Oh, you like me at my butterfly, but not at my caterpillar? Okay. My name is Hari the Butterfly.
And tell me, where do you spend your time these days? Where are you living?
I'll be honest, like, I'm in the air a lot. You know, I fly a lot. You know, whenever I can, I'll try to park in a tree or a fence or, you know, really wherever there's room. You know, I'm not that picky. As long as I'm kind of out of public view, I'm pretty good.
You like your privacy?
I very much like my privacy. You know, that's the thing about being a butterfly that I don't think people understand is the pressure. We're celebrities in the natural world. When people see us, they freak out. There's the nice stuff of, oh my God, so beautiful, I love you, I want to take a picture. But most people don't have to deal with the risk of being pinned to a board. Have you met Brad Pitt? Have I met him? He's pinned to a board in my basement. And we're going to be okay with that? No. But yet, for me, I've seen so many of my butterfly brothers and sisters go down that way.
Well, there's something also, you know, what that says is what matters about a butterfly to a human who's doing that. What matters is only how they look, because it's not them. It's not the life inside of them, because that they're putting away.
No, I mean, I've been told by other butterflies that my personality is grating, but nobody would know that. Because it's not important. I disagree, by the way, that it is grating. I think I'm just really thoughtful, introspective, and maybe I call out realness.
This feels like a weird thing to say to you, but you are beautiful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of butterflies, as much as they would like to say that they don't love it, they thrive on the attention.
Right.
They love the attention. They know that they're it. And when you do see us, it just feels like this is a sign of something. How beautiful. We're like rainbows, you know? Like, we're not seen as living things. We're seen as phenomena, you know? And I, you know, there was an allure to that when I first turned into a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
There was certainly the idea that, wow, if people in high school could see me now, you know what I mean? Like, it was just us and earthworms and all sorts of different kinds of creatures. We had a slug. I miss that time, that kind of the ability to grow and reflect on life, the idea of nobody's trying to take a picture of me.
Mm-hmm.
Your privacy, your ability to be free to, you know, to fly and be in your head. I can't be in my head for too long because I will get caught.
Yeah, attention is like, it's a responsibility.
It's not, people assume that, you know, living things that are smaller than humans don't have the ability to think and have complicated thoughts. No, it's that we don't have the time to. We are struggling to survive. We don't have time to, you know, do you think I've ever finished a full television show? Do you think I have a half hour or an hour? You know what I mean? I don't have time. A season, well, I can't even watch an episode in peace. So this has nothing to do with, you know, our brains. It's just, it is a hard thing being a very small creature and beloved. I would love to be a caterpillar again.
How do you get to watch any television? And if there's a show that you at least like starting?
I mean, I'm a butterfly. I'm everywhere. You know what I mean? I'm flying around. It could be someone's phone. I'll catch a few moments.
Sure.
People's laptops. The thing is, you can't be spotted. You have to find a place to blend in. And honestly, there aren't that many places that look like us. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah. You're quite flamboyant.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, like this is, it's not by choice. This is the way, you know, like I said, I'm a private butterfly. You know, sometimes you get lucky. I'm like, oh, is that lady wearing cheetah orange and black? I can sit there and she might not notice.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's watching somebody, I can watch. Like I've had situations where there's somebody who's chosen to wear something very unattractive and ugly. And it just happens to be my colors and I can sneak right in. You know what I mean? So
is there any show that you particularly like that you've caught a few minutes of?
I don't know if this is the best sampling, but I did watch a little bit of that show Sex Education on Netflix.
Sure.
And I love the fact that it's able to educate people about sexuality, young people in particular, while also just being a really funny show from what I've seen.
Right.
I don't know. I think Emma Mackey's a fantastic actress. And I don't think she looks like Margot Robbie. I think Emma Mackey and I have a lot in common in that regard. They always think she's, you know, Margot Robbie. She's clearly not. Just like everyone thinks I'm just any other butterfly. Oh, aren't you the butterfly I saw? Hey, do you know this butterfly? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. There's a lot of us.
Tell me the story of when you encountered someone who had a tattoo of you.
There's not one time. There's many times. Honestly, it happens all the time. My image is exploited all the time. My name is exploited all the time. Butterfly knife. I'm not violent, but there are butterfly knives. There's a butterfly stroke in swimming. I can't swim. How does that make sense? Right? Oh, that's what a butterfly, that's what we look like in the water? That's ridiculous. The butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. You know, we land on something and that changes something else. And, you know, if you change one thing, then everything else is different in the future. You know, it could have been anything. Why a butterfly? Why us? Could have been a moth. I'm not saying it should have been a moth. What's named after the moth? An incredible storytelling series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People going into the depths of their heart to share things with others that they wouldn't normally share. Why not the butterfly? Nobody thinks that about us.
It would be amazing to see a butterfly on the moth.
I agree.
Just like telling a story that was funny at first, and then at the end, when it made a twist towards the poignant.
Oh,
that's my experience of the moth.
I mean, that's my experience with my life.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit about moths. I imagine you've had interaction with several. Can you tell me about, you know, a particular moth that you know that you've spent some time with?
Larry was a buddy of mine. You know, we both came of age around the same time. It was always a sense, at least initially, of distrust. And part of that has to do with my upbringing, the idea that I'm special and you're not. Which it took a lot to deprogram myself as a butterfly to realize the privileges that I have over moths.
Sure.
And, you know, Larry honestly put up with a lot of my ignorance more than he really needed to. And I appreciate that. And, you know, so, I mean, honestly, I think that it is very important for us butterflies to understand the privileges we have as butterflies. Larry changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. May he rest in peace.
How did Larry die?
We have to talk about this?
We don't have to talk. If you don't want to talk about it.
It's
if it's hard to talk
about. I feel tremendous guilt about it. And this is one of the things I've had to... I wanted to go out that day. And again, it's part of the privilege of being a butterfly. And Larry was like, I don't think this is a great idea. It's broad daylight. People don't want to see me out. There's a reason we hide in closets. I'm like, come on, man. We always hang out with you and your friends and your family. We're buddies. Let's go out into the world. Let's see something. I don't even think it was 3 minutes before they started swatting at him and trying to get rid of him. And me, it was just like, whoa, it's a butterfly. I literally heard that. They were swatting, and then they were, be careful, it's a butterfly.
Wow.
And he was gone. He was gone. I don't remember what kind of book it was. Might have been a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never look at Courtney Cox the same way.
I think it was a magazine.
Is that a magazine? I guess
probably
she wouldn't be. Yeah, just my buddy's guts smeared all over her. It was just it's ironic. I heard she was on a show called Friends. There's an irony in that because he was my friend, you know.
Hi, I'm calling for Jim Mallett.
That's me.
Hi, Jim. I wanted to talk to you because I had a few questions about butterflies and moths, and I realized there's something I don't know that I feel like I should know by now. What is the difference between a butterfly and a moth?
Strictly speaking, a butterfly is a moth. It's a type of moth. So it comes out of the moth tree.
So moths came first.
Well, yeah, moths certainly evolved first.
In thinking about moth-butterfly evolution, when I was getting ready for this episode, I came across the story of the peppered moth. I had not read this before. Can you tell this story?
Yes. It's a moth that occurs commonly in Britain and woodlands. It's a white moth with black speckles on it, and that it rests flat.
Okay.
On the surfaces of tree trunks and branches, and that camouflages it among the lichens and other stuff on the bark.
Sure.
And then the Industrial Revolution in Britain happened, and people started burning coal in vast amounts, and the coal smoke blackened the skies, and the soot started coating trees and buildings and every surface. When I grew up, actually, you know, our house was black, and the Natural History Museum in London was black.
Wow.
Everything was black because of coal smoke. So in the 19th century, some moth people who wrote books about moths noticed that the peppered moth was going black, and there was this black form that became really common.
So because everything was coated in black, it sounds like in a matter of years, the species changed from being all white to all black.
Yep.
Wow.
Once the Clean Air Act was passed in the 1960s, the whole process was reversed. And so now the black form is extremely rare. And the buildings and trees are no longer coated with soot. And so the peppered moth is now peppered again. It's the best example and best documented example of natural selection in action.
One thing that I hadn't thought about, you know, caterpillar has its chrysalis, it becomes a butterfly. After the butterfly start part of its life begins, you're done eating. You know, you're drinking nectar and things. But you do all of your eating in that first distinct part of your, like, if you told me, hey, next year, next May, you're going to have a sandwich.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the last thing you ever eat. You're going to live 50 more years. But you're done eating. That's so crazy to think
about. I've thought about that a lot because, you know, on one hand, not having to think about food is freeing.
Mm-hmm.
What it does make harder is the excuse for gathering. You know, that was a thing, and now it's not because I'm not eating. So you really have to, when you want to keep your friends, you have to make really deliberate efforts to meet.
I think that's really true. I think, like, so much that I enjoy about eating is actually getting together with other humans.
You know, we have something like that with butterflies. It's called a puddle club. And
a puddle?
Yeah, like, you know, there's a big puddle, there's a big whatever, and we kind of all hang around the puddle. It's almost like being in a sauna or something, you know,
okay.
or being around a pool is probably better. And we're all, like, you know, drinking a little bit and hanging out, and what happens in the puddle club stays in the puddle club. And, you know, that's the way it is.
Sounds so fun, puddle club.
It is a blast. The first time I went to a puddle club, I was really lost. I honestly, like, maybe a little prudish or inexperienced, but, you know, I mean, the puddles, whoever chooses the puddles we go to does such a good job. My fear is always like, okay, but how much pollution's in there? Is this going to kill all of us? Is this going to be like a Jonestown situation by accident? You know, we all
sure.
200 butterflies and we're all dead. That's a bad omen. I get it. But yeah, I mean, they're wonder. It's just a fun time.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah.
That was really interesting what you said about when you're a butterfly or when you're other creatures that have to kind of worry about survival a lot, that actually like reflection and just thinking through things is a luxury.
Yes.
I think that's so interesting. And that's part of human privilege. And, you know, even I think there are a lot of humans who don't have the luxury of just being able to think about things. I don't know. I think that's just going to, I think that's something I'm going to think about a lot.
Well, I'm glad, you know, certainly when I agreed to do this interview, I didn't assume I was going to be bringing greater truths about humans, you know, especially considering my very mixed feelings about them.
Mm-hmm.
But you seem all right. And even though I say that, part of me is like, you would accidentally kill me. You wouldn't mean to, but I could imagine you swinging your arm and just killing me. That's the sad thing about being a butterfly, being a small winged creature, or being a small creature at all. You can care about people, you can care about other living things, and you still know they might accidentally kill you.
I feel like I'm really trying to sit really still right now after you put it that way.
I appreciate that. No, I've noticed that. I mean, people twitch, didn't even twitch. I'll be honest, part of it is amusing to me because you look very silly trying not to twitch.
This is The Animals. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chillog, with Eva Walchover. Our editor is Hilary Frank. Thanks, as always, to Emily Spivak. Hurry the Butterfly was played by Hurry Kondabolu. His YouTube comedy special is called Vacation Baby. I highly recommend it. A big thanks to Jim Mallett for talking to us about the peppered moth and other things. Jim is professor of organismic and evolutionary biology in residence at Harvard University. The Animals is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Audrey Mardavich, executive producer, and Yuri Lasordo, Director of Network Operations. Thank you so much for listening to The Animals. If you like the show, please tell your friends, tell your animals. If you're interested, we put a link to our t-shirts in the show notes. We will be back with a deleted scenes bonus episode of The Animals next week. We'll see you then.
Radiotopia from PR.